I saw my neighbors at the bottom drive out to church today, and I saw my neighbors across the road drive to church. I followed them here today. And then these are my cousins. This is my mother's brother's son, and this is my mother's sister's daughter. And we had a little granny. She was about this size. And she prayed that her grandkids would serve God. And I just looked across today, and I saw my cousins. So my mum's children are serving God. My mum's sister's children are serving God. My mum's brother's children are serving God. And you can bring it down to a little granny. She was tiny, but she prayed. Beautiful. Don't stop praying, grannies. Don't stop praying for your children. Don't stop praying for your friends. Don't stop praying that God would do an amazing work. I was sitting at my desk the other day, and I had my windows open. It was cold. And I saw the Comrades Marathon champion run past. You know, we've all had those visions. You close your eyes and you see yourself. Na 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 na. You know, and I thought, is it really him? So I shouted, "Kampioen!" So he stopped dead. He said, "Ek." I said, "Ja, wie is die kampioen? Het jy die comrades gewen?" I said, "Ja, oom." So I said, "Come praat met me. I want to talk about our shared experiences at the comrades." So we had this amazing conversation about our athletics careers and our running careers and all those. It's a phenomenal conversation. I said, "Where do you live?" He said, "Just up the road." I thought, yo, this is a road of champions, eh? This is like, it's where all the champions are born. And then yesterday I was preparing and I had my blinds. I've got blinds in my office, so no one can really see me. I had my blinds in my office, and my next door neighbor, who's here this morning, is Afrikaans, a man about 50. Beautiful family, have lived next opposite each other for 12, 13 years now. And I saw him say goodbye to his dad. And as he said goodbye to his dad, he kissed him. And I just started to weep, and I thought, I live in a street of champions. I live in a street of champions. I just missed my dad so incredibly much. I just saw this man, I thought, wow, how many 50-year-old men still kiss their dad goodbye, you know? And when we come to the scriptures, I think it's a bit like that. It's like the kiss of the father, hey? So when we come to the scriptures, we should feel. And so I just want to say to you, my next door neighbor, I won't embarrass you, but when I saw your dad kiss you goodbye, you say something like seeing the Comrades Marathon champion. It felt like I just won a premium race when I saw that take place. And I've tried to prepare the sermon in that way. And all these empty seats will be filled next week from people returning from Italy. Flip. I don't know how you Afrikaans guys left there, walked barefoot over a mountain, then when you go on holiday, you go back there. It's the most unbelievable thing. The freaking Europeans. You believe it, eh? Where were you? In Italy. What did you do? I ate croissants. I've seen all your photographs. I hate them. Can't believe you can afford that and I can't. It's like, really? And you're going to all be here next year like, "Oh, all to Jesus, I surrender." You know what I'm saying? Ha, 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 ha. Your Instagram photographs and all those things. But anyway, so it's really nice to see you. For all those who will be back next week, we'll talk about this. I'm talking this morning about a subject which will not apply to you in the slightest. I don't think any of you will be affected by it except me. I've had 2 weeks with it. It's jealousy. Completely non-applicable to any of you.
Yo.
While you walked in here with your jerseys over your breasts because there are others that have got bigger ones than you. That's how we do it, isn't it? We compare everything, hey, from speed to car. I mean, you would have seen people in the car park who parked next to you in a car fancier than you that you'll never be able to afford, and you don't even like them, but you've never met them. You sit in your heart, you think, we call that vint. I can't say the second part. Vint, and you think, but how you call him a vint? You don't even know the oak. Or worse, the chick. There's a woman in this car who's got two Ferraris. It's not fair. And every time she parks a Ferrari, I think, So we're going to talk about jealousy. How's that sound? And let's see if the father can kiss us. Just a nice kiss. So let's read. We're going to finish John in John 21. We're going to finish John. And say, when they finish eating. Say that, when they finish eating. Okay, you can turn it off. So what Jesus does an amazing thing. You know sin smells. You know that. How do you know that? Well, I just have sinners come into my office all the time. They stink. And I live with myself, of course. So sin's got a smell, hasn't it? You know that when somebody walks in, you. Have you been drinking? How do you know? Yeah. So sin's just got a smell to it. I mean that's the truth, hasn't it? So Peter sins. He denies Christ three times. And actually what happens is when he denies Christ, there's a fire there. He's standing around the fire. So he would have woken up the next day and he would have thought, yo, this smells. And so when Jesus redeems us, he even redeems the smell of our sin. So what Jesus does is he builds a fire. Because there's a smell that Peter's got and he thinks, I'm going to have to redeem the smell. Even the smell. So when he walks away from me and he's redeemed, he's going to smell, but he's not going to be reminded of his sin. He's going to be reminded of the time that he's had with me. So Christ even redeems the smell of our sin. So he makes a fish braai. If you guys in Moikler thought that you started the braai, Jesus did. You started the meat braai. He started the fish braai, which we don't really do here. You do that in December. It's still braai. Met die vis braai. But Jesus had already got what he was looking for. They've gone out fishing again. He's backslidden. He's sinned. He's done all sorts of stuff. And Jesus invites him to this braai. And at this braai, he starts to do this amazing work. So let's go back to John 21. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? So he denies Christ three times. He restores him three times. Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, how many times did he deny him? He redeems every single part of. And I want to say to you this morning, if you think you're irredeemable, you've come to the right place. Jesus Christ redeems every part of your sin. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because. Just keep the words up there. Just close your eyes and say, Peter was hurt because. Why are you hurt? Peter was hurt because. Why are you hurt? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you, Jesus said. Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And you think, oh, he's going to also go to the cross. Next verse. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Just turn it off for a moment. Follow me. So the whole time, you can turn the whole thing off. The whole time, when Jesus got Peter the first time, he said to him, Peter, follow me. What's your name?
Duncan.
You're the brother-in-law?
Yes. No.
Yeah. Duncan, follow me. That's all he said. Follow me. Say, follow me. And so the whole time, Jesus wanted to walk, and he wanted Peter to follow him. Then he got a whole lot of other guys, and they have this unbelievable journey of following God, but they seem to go off on these different tangents. Who's the greatest of us all? You think, just follow God. Is it Moraletta? Is it Dr. Deo? Is it 3CI? Is it John Raybert? Is it Art Boshoff? Who's the greatest of us all? Don't worry, just follow me. Just follow me. What about Bethel Church and the music at Hillsong? Don't worry about it. Just follow me. And so we've got all these little sidetracks that's come into our lives. And you're sitting here, guys. You parked your car next to someone. You think, but what about? And you came in and somebody's got the latest kit, but what about? Don't worry about it. Just follow me. Who's the greatest of us all? Who will sit at the right-hand side? Who's going to take the right seat at the table? And we've got this unbelievable wrestle as we try and work out our Christianity with the people next to us. But Jesus just said, follow me. Follow me. Who's leading worship on Sunday? Doesn't matter. Follow me. Okay? Peter turned and saw, say saw, that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. Turn it off, please. He saw, say saw. So what happens, friends, there is a link between our eyes and our ears and our heart. That's what I want to talk to you today. There's a link between our eyes, our ears, and our heart. And unless we sort it out, we'll never have an effect on this world. Because when he saw, everything's going right. He's got the new smell of the fire. The old smell is gone. He's got the new smell. He smells his clothes. We know that the sun was behind him. He comes back from fishing. He walks towards Jesus, the Son of God. The sun's behind him. There's a shadow that comes. The Son of God is stronger than the son of the world. And so the shadow eventually goes into him. And the shadow behind him in the book of Acts says, and the shadow of Peter healed everybody who was sick. So his shadow has been redeemed. His smell has been redeemed. His calling has been redeemed, but his eyes are giving him trouble and his ears. And when there's a break in communication between our eyes and our ears, then our mouth starts talking nonsense. You with me? Let's keep reading. Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. Yes. Who does Jesus love? I'm absolutely convinced Jesus loves me more than you. But the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that there is no favoritism. So every one of us is equally loved. And so when you see people arrived here blessed out of their socks, you've got to hold peace in your heart because your eyes will trip you. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? What did Jesus say to him? He said, follow me. He says, but what about him? He's the guy that gets the big seat. He's the guy that gets all the publicity. He's the guy that leans on your chest. He's the guy that everybody says you love him. He's the guy who's going to write the last book of the Bible. What about him? He says, don't worry about him. You must follow me. Next verse. Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Amen? Let me tell you this, friends. The person sitting next to you, the person parked next to you, the person that you're going to meet in the car park tomorrow, the comrades marathon runner who is faster than me, better than me, cleverer than me, he's an actuarial scientist, happens to live in the same road as me, he's called by God. I said to him, George, how did you win? I said, do you know Jesus? He said, the Spirit of God lives inside of me, Rory. Spirit of God lives inside of me. God's got him following him on a road of comrades. I said, where did you train? He said, round past the church, down into the valley, the grapevine. He trained all around him. What is he doing? He's following God. I said, you trained by yourself? He said, yes. I said, how did you train? He said, God led me. And I said, what did Bruce Fordyce say? He said, Bruce Fordyce said, I overtrained. And I said, and then what did Bruce Fordyce say? He said, Bruce Fordyce phoned me the next day and he said, sorry, George, for the criticism, I realized that actually you were being led by something. Congratulations on your win. He's just following God. And when I look through the, and I see my neighbor kiss his dad, he's just following God. Don't worry about him. Don't worry about her. Don't worry about CRC. Don't worry about Choose Life. Just follow me. Are you doing what I've called you to do? Yeah. Yeah. Amen? And may all the comparison and all the stuff that comes over. So let me tell you this, friends. This is what the Bible says about jealousy. In the Old Testament, the word is quana, Q-A-N-A, and it means red hot. Some of you see it in your wives. Right. It doesn't happen to men much. Every now and again. The New Testament word is yesu, or like Y-E-S-E-E, which means boil. So we've got these two words called red hot and boil. But in Pretoria, jealousy looks like a moi popi from moi kluif and a moi roki that drinks cappuccinos at Woolworths. And she just sort of sits with her arms folded and going, hello, hello, hello. But inside there is a red, deep red, boiling cesspool that wants to explode at anybody that draws attention from them, competes with them, whose kids are better than them. Yes or no? What about him? And so now we have to have all sorts of different operations and all sorts of, we're getting ourselves into debt to buy clothes, to compete with people that we should have got nothing to do with them, and our emotion towards them should be neutral. And Peter has had his call redeemed. Peter has had his smell redeemed. Peter has had his shadow redeemed. But before he can go out on mission, God says, I've got to deal with your eyes because you're looking around too much, Chana. You're worried about people around you. You're worried about John. And I'm going to have to get you to write the second last book of the Bible or the third last book of the Bible. But the last book belongs to John. He's going to write the last book. You say, God, that's not fair. But you're not God. Amen? So this is a little phrase I read in one of the commentators. Jealousy is able to do a number of things. It can decimate a friendship. How many have lost friendship because of jealousy? It can dissolve a romance. It can completely and utterly destroy a marriage. I've seen it. It can shoot tension through the ranks of professional sports, nullify unity on a basketball team, foster bitterness in a family. How are you doing? By God's grace, He allowed me to see my neighbor's father kiss him yesterday because I feel like there's a little bit of kiss and makeup that needs to happen today in some of your families. Create havoc in a dormitory and fragment relationships on just about every front, for jealousy is profound in its impact. Smell redeemed, call redeemed, shadow redeemed, but eyes still looking around. What about him? If you can just put the first proverb up for me, please. This is one of the proverbs. Anger is cruel. Fury is overwhelming. But who can stand before jealousy? How are we doing? I've had 2 weeks to prepare this. It's been brutal because I'm deeply exposed. I'm deeply exposed, as I'm sure some of you will be right now. So let's have a look at a few stories and see how this thing grips our heart. Let's turn to Genesis 26. You haven't got very far. So there's famine in the land. Complete famine. Like COVID. It's like things are really tough. And Isaac planted crops in that land. And the same year, say the same year, reaped 100-fold. I've never, ever seen anyone reap 100-fold. I always go back to the scripture and say, Lord, I want to reap 100-fold. I've never done that. I've reaped 10-fold. I've reaped 20-fold. Reaped 30-fold. And reaped 100-fold because? Say it. Because the Lord blessed him. Because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. You see what happened? Their eyes look at him and think, you know what they say in Afrikaans? Jy kan nie geld wegsteek nie. Nee, jy kan nie geld wegsteek nie. And I've seen people in this church and my friends that since COVID have been blessed out of their socks because the Lord blessed them. But it's a struggle for me because I watch it and I think, but how come them and not? I don't know. We're not meant to know that. But if you cannot be happy at the success of another person, you have got a jealousy issue residing like a moi poppy at Woolworths in your heart, about to explode in deep colors of red at the boiling temperature of 100 degrees. Bah! And it causes havoc. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Can you imagine? Friends, we've got people spending their lives stopping up other people's wells because God has blessed them. It's bizarre, isn't it? Yeah. Ain't you find it bizarre? Criticism, anger, silence, resentment, these are all the things that outplay themselves. That's how we stop up people's lives. And because we can't have the same wealth, what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring them down to our level. How do you know that? Because I do it. And when the wells start popping and the wells start going and God starts blessing, and you go, the only way I can do this is I stop the well. Why don't we just bless the well? Sure. The Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed. Have you seen? You see, there's a couple in Pretoria. She was Miss South Africa. She married Mr. South Africa. Have you seen them? They walk, it's things like, Zeus, how? The Lord blessed them. And then he gave him a business idea, and then he got another business idea, and then he got another business idea. She's got a business idea. And then you see it's like Ken, Barbie, their children all look like they've come out of some, like, God, how? Where? And she gets sponsored a Jag, and he gets a Land Rover, and you look and you think, I don't know what I want to do. I just want to take soil, and I want to stuff it down your well. Wow. Yeah, how are we doing? Or I say, you know what? I don't know how it works, God, but you've blessed them. You've blessed them with looks. You've blessed them with bodies. You've blessed, I see called George running through it. Think, no, George, comrade's not my thing. I'm like a sumo wrestler guy, you know? Like, hey, George, you want to fight with me, George? Hey, you want to fight? 90 Ks, 3 minutes 40 per kilometer. I can't do 3 minutes 40 on a motorbike for 1 kilometer. Na 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 na. How are we doing, eh? Just look around. You think, but him and her. And that, and you can hate a person for the car they drive when you've got nothing to do with who they are, what they do, where they've been, the price they've paid, the journey with God. You know nothing about it. But you can have issues in your heart because you have not been blessed by that way. So there's always someone faster, cleverer.
Amen.
Amen. And my sister and I are so different. I'm big, she's small, I'm extrovert, she's introvert, she's pretty, I'm ugly, she's clever, I'm dumb. We come from the same family. Talk to her every 3 times a week, every second day, her and I talk, just talk. We're business partners, we're friends, we're brother and sister, and we have to make sure that there's no jealousy in our relationship so that God can bless us, and where he blesses us, the commanded blessing goes out. Friends, we are put together in this whole package. People got chosen in teams because of a certain color. Now people get left out of teams because of a certain color. And now there's a quota system. And then before that was an apartheid system. And now God's in charge of the whole thing. God's in charge of the whole thing. And what he's trying to do is redeem your smell, your shadow, your call, your eyes, and your ears. Let's go to Genesis 37. We're not getting very far, I'm sorry. But I hope you are deeply challenged. And you feel the kiss of the Father at the same time. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17. So he's got these older sons, and then he has this lot lamiki. My daughter calls them the Woolworth babies. She said, Dad, Mitchell grew up on okay. I grew up on checkers. And now this lot, Lomiki, just comes along and he's like the Woolworths child. Chicken for you, my darling. Little cheer butter for you, my little darling. Little, yeah, say, my darling. Say, my baby. Yes, of course I'll wake you up, my darling. She said, Dad, what's happened to you and Mum? Said, you've gone soft. this little Woolworths baby. So this little Woolworths baby comes along. What's your name? My name is Joseph. Hello, Joe. He was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about him. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of the other sons. Think, oh my hat, he has trouble. You know, friends, if this is true or not true, it doesn't really matter. The issue is, Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, follow the way your father loves his children. He said, follow me. Because he had been born to him in his old age. So, Mitch, you were born in my young age. So, James is my favorite son. I know it's hurtful. I know you've got issues. I know all those things. But your mother was so old when he was born. She was 40. And this lighty came out. I just met my cousin. He's 54. He's got a two-year-old. Sure, my brother. What a blessing. So now I've got this oak. He's born when I was young. I've got a daughter born when I was young. It looks like I traded my wife in. We had a 10-year gap and looked like I maybe married a younger bookie. And then we had two more, but this one was born in my old age. So
he gets it with his chicken.
I don't know how you save it. He gets a Woolworths chicken. He gets a hot water bottle in his bed every night.
Yo.
Spoiled little brat. Because he had been born to him his old age, he made a richly ornamented robe for him. Next verse. When his brothers, say it.
Saw.
You see the problem. What's the problem? You see it? The problem is the eyes. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind. What's he done? He just got born late. Now he's got a lacquer jacket from Kingsley Heath. Your kid's got pick and pay clothing. Now he's got a Kingsley Heath jacket and everybody hates him and they can't speak a kind word about him. Let me ask you about your language, and only you will be able to give an account for your language. But your language is probably deeply affected by deep red and boiling jealousy. If in any way you speak kindly about unkindly about other people that you don't even know, but you're not happy that God gave them a lot and your lot is different, but he said, don't worry about them. You follow me. 1 Samuel 18. This is quite a nice one. 1 Samuel 18, please. When the men were returning home after David had killed the Philistines, the woman came out from all the towns of Israel to meet King Saul. Capital K, capital S. We all love that. I want that. Capital K, capital R. King Rory. Yeah. Hallelujah. With singing and dancing. So there's, I've got a name, I've got a title, I've got singing and I've got dancing. With joyful songs and with tambourines and lutes. Bum, 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 bum. That's geen oral, mense. Bum, 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 bum. As they danced, they sang, Saul has slain his thousands. And you think, yeah. And David his tens of thousands. Think, ah. Next verse. Saul was very angry. This refrain, what is a refrain? This refrain galled him, made him bitter. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Friends, may I tell you this? God will always allow somebody in the world to be 10 times richer, 10 times cleverer, 10 times faster, 10 times better looking, so that our King Saul or King Rory or Queen Mary or whatever your name is, make sure that it'll submit itself to following Christ and not following the ways of the world. And God had to deal with Peter's eyes and his ears so that he could get up in front of 3,000 people and preach about Christ and not worry about the people around him. Time is finished, but quickly, two scriptures. Proverbs 14, please. A heart of peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. I've just seen one of my friends now, had some major back trouble. And we're at that age now where my mates are getting their knees replaced and their hips replaced and all sorts of replacements. And I thought, I wonder, at close to 60, whether it's your bones that start going or your joints start going, or just sometimes, maybe because we don't ever deal with these things, our bones start getting brittle inside. Because we never bless those who do better than us. Maybe we just should celebrate the other churches in our area. Maybe we should just celebrate when somebody's kid does well. Maybe we should celebrate when your daughter gets selected for a team that my daughter doesn't make, because it's going to affect the inside of my bones. James chapter 3, and we finish. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy, dark red, boiling, and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but it's earthly and spiritual of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. No grace, no love, no order, no power, no forgiveness, disorder, and every evil practice. Hatred, bitterness, broken families. I had all this on my desk yesterday. I looked up through my slat and I saw, must be an 80-year-old man, kiss his son. And I thought, you can preach about jealousy in such a way that you are raging. You can preach about it in such a way that you just kiss your friends and say, may this have an impact. It doesn't go away by prayer. It goes away first by recognition and then by repentance. But this is the call as we end the book of John. Come and follow me. Don't worry about who sits where. Don't worry about the Ferrari driving woman. Don't worry about the one whose body is 10 times better than yours, or whose business gets blessed beyond recognition, or the one who wears the ornamented robe and you don't know why they got the robe and you never got the robe. You don't know that. This is my call to you. Repent. Ask God to reveal. And follow him. Follow him. Follow him. And don't worry about the person next to you. God bless you.